Previously on Late End Legends.
Ominous.
Damn.
Cool.
The words echo in the room around you, and in the quiet that follows gives an eerie silence. You see now that the seat in front of you is no longer empty.
Oh, shit.
It's a dryad. Their skin is like bark, and roots and vines cover their body.
Wow.
But nobody has seen one. Certainly not in a very, very long time.
Don't move. And if you do, kneel.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that approach. I think Val might take a kneel.
I'm going to slowly move down to the ground.
Slowly. Why?
And show fealty for being in their territory.
Is there something in this roof?
Get down!
And she takes a step down from her position towards you, Giovanni. Others have come and stole what they could not take. They suffered for their actions. A shape starts to take hold. It looks like a rod, but then it grows longer, and it grows to her height, 8 feet tall in all, looking down at you. And you recognize now that it is a spear, and at the very top of this spear, a crystal jutted into the top of it, golden and bright with yellow, radiant energy, crackling with power.
Wow.
Val, tell her you love her. Tell her you love her. Tell her you love her. Also, does she have to roll for damage because she left the moonbeam?
Starting and ending turn.
It's not starting and ending turn. It's your first turn and every turn thereafter. So yeah,
I don't know.
She's going to roll. That would imply that she has to roll twice. She rolled a 4, so Val, she takes full damage.
Nice. Let's see. Oh, man, 30, come on.
30.
At least 20s.
I feel like it might not even be damaging her, though, because of the... She's traveling through radiant light.
Yeah, I thought that too, but gotta try. I don't know. Hopefully it looks... I'm maintaining that she's just very stoic. Val rolls a 25.
Oh.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, buddy.
I hope you're not healing.
Yeah, she takes that damage. Val, you look up from where you're standing at the spear. You see that she's holding on to it as well, but now you can see that she's also like covered in steam, just crisping off of the bark around her. But I need you to roll a constitution saving throw.
Constitution, okay. Val rolls a 12.
The bright light radiating around her from where she appeared, which you have no idea where she came from, blinds you. You are blinded for 2 turns.
Crap.
Wow.
Ah, my eyes! My eyes!
And that's the end of her turn, and now it's your turn, Val.
Oh, you suck. Are we still both holding on to this spear?
Yep.
Sure, okay. Jeez. I want to,
purify it.
Make it your own.
Man, I want to call Moonbeam over to me. I know I'm blinded, but I just based on like my best estimation, kind of like just what I always do with Geo, just try and place it where she's in, I'm out. Oh, sorry, no. Is she in the entangled field?
She is.
Oh, well, I should already have like a line of communication with those plants.
Yeah, at the very least, check your duration.
Yeah, can we just check that real quick? Takes 1 action, self. 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, you still got a line of contact with those plants.
Sure. I want to call out to them. Seize her.
Incredible.
I'm gonna need you to make a persuasion attempt.
Ooh.
Sure. Awesome.
And you are going to contest her.
14.
She rolled a 16.
Ah, crap.
The plants do not begin to tangle onto her.
Shoot. Yeah. Okay. Then that's plan. Then I'll just try and call the moonbeam in on her based on where I know she is relative to me.
Okay.
Kind of a danger close situation.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you to roll a straight d20.
Sure, that sounds fair.
And that's gonna decide whether you end up placing it on just her or you and her.
Sure, of course. Okay, 15.
Okay, yeah, you managed to bring it over to her,
You can start to feel the heat radiating off of, like radiating down towards you, and you realize you should probably hold off a bit there. You do manage to land it right directly on her.
Get, wow.
Okay, and she's going to roll a constitution check. Rolled an 8.
3d fucking 10 damage, god damn it.
Ugh. Jeez, man. Danger close.
You know, if you rode a monster that was immune to radiant damage, it would really fuck over me and Val's.
Yeah. Oh boy, we'd be so screwed.
Entire
mirror man
wouldn't do anything to me.
Val rolls a 13.
All right, so she takes that damage. Next up, it's you, Giovanni.
I've had enough close combat dealios with this creature, so I'm just gonna move up to Mordecai here.
Okay, just outside of the range of those vines.
Yeah, exactly, and just take two shots with Mezzo's crossbow.
Okay.
Nice, dude.
19.
That hits.
Okay, so that's for 11 damage.
Yep.
Wow.
And then I'm going to attack again.
Fuck.
No. The crit doesn't do anything with this crossbow, though. It just hits.
Oh, yes, right.
10 damage and 242. So, yeah, nothing miraculous. But fuck yeah, that's good damage from a crossbow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid shots.
That's makes up for the two critical fails I rolled earlier.
Yeah. Okay, you pierce her twice in her back as she holds onto the spear in front of Val.
Giovanni heroically shooting a misunderstood creature in the back.
And Mordecai, it's your turn.
Okay, you run a little bit closer.
Okay.
Avoiding the ground there.
Yes.
The bushy bits. And then let's use 3 of my sorcery points to twin spell Maximilian's Earth and Grasp and try and grab her.
Okay, you can't see her right now.
What?
So you've moved up, okay, and you are now kind of under the cover of this cliff that runs along the backside of this fighting area. And you now can no longer see her or Val because they're on the other side of this little cliffed area.
All right.
Couldn't he see the moonbeam, though?
Oh, you can make out the moonbeam. It's shining out over top of this little cliffside. It's really lighting up the room. But you can't see the people who are on the other side of this cliff.
Then I'll send them towards the moonbeam.
You are firing them blindly, though.
That's fine. They don't need to grab this round.
Okay.
I can summon them.
All right, roll a straight up 1d20.
Okay. 17.
Okay. Okay, there and there. So they are just within the moonbeam.
Okay.
Okay, next up is the dryad.
Do the hands.
The dryad.
Sorry, do the hands get an opportunity to talk?
The hands don't do. What? No. Okay, it's the dryad's turn. She grabs onto the spear and pulls it out, Val.
Mm hmm. Ugh.
Do you want to resist that?
Yes, I do.
Roll a strength check.
Nat 20. Oh, fuck.
3.
Okay, she got an 11, so she yanks it out of your hands.
Ugh.
She stabs at you with the spear. It's a 14.
She'll do it.
You take 10 points of damage.
Ugh.
And with her second action, she's going to grab you, Val.
Oh, duh.
I need you to roll a strength check.
Sure. Come on. 5. Oh, Val, you gimp.
This is kind of embarrassing. She rolled a 7. What did you roll there, Val?
5.
Okay, yeah. It's just like two nerds having a slap fight with each other. But she manages to get the upper hand and grab onto you. And she pulls you into the moonbeam and at the hands that have appeared behind her.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So you've now moved from beside the cliff into the garden again.
Oh, shit.
And what's more, you're in a moonbeam. She takes a step back to where you were standing a moment before, and that's her turn, but she's going to roll constitution check. She rolls a 17.
So that's half, eh?
Yep.
20, so she takes 10.
Okay. All right, and that is her turn. Next up is you, Val. You are caught in moonbeam. Guess what you have to do?
Is Val still blind?
Yeah.
I should be getting unblind.
After this turn.
After this turn, okay.
So, Val, I'm going to need you to roll a constitution check.
Oh, boy. 3.
Well, you failed. Let's roll some damage.
Oh, boy. Died by my own moonbeam.
Well. Have the turned tables have turned?
10.
Duh. All right, yeah, you take 10 points of damage.
I want to take this opportunity to shift Moonbeam.
Can one of those earthy hands, like, shield Val or no?
If I could see him.
How many hit points do you have left, Val?
10. No, I should have 12, sorry. Because I had 22, so.
Okay. Ooh, actually, I'm going to need you to roll a constitution check.
For what? Oh, for the plants.
Concentration, actually.
Oh, okay.
You rolled a 10, and Moonbeam comes down. Nope, no more Moonbeam.
Fucking just as well. And do I have any movement left at all?
Yeah, we'll say that you do. You have half movement because this is difficult terrain.
Sure. I want to try and just scramble over to kind of to where Mordecai is, kind of towards where Mordecai is at.
Okay.
Tuck up behind him if I can. I think I got enough space to move, eh?
Yeah, so that's 10, 10, 20, yeah, so. And then 25.
Sure, I guess I'll go in this corner between Geo and Mordecai. Okay. The corner of the entanglement field.
Okay, you managed to pull yourself out of the grasping garden.
Ugh.
Next up, it's you, Giovanni.
I'm just trying to think if Giovanni... if I benefit from casting protection from evil or good on myself. But I don't know what a dryad is. Like, it protects me from aberrations, celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead. I feel like it's one of those. That'd be my whole turn, right? I only get to do two combat actions, but one regular action.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and just do that protection spell.
Okay. Can you pull it up? What?
Is there any advantage to casting it at second level or no? No, I'll just throw it at level one. Until the spell ends, one willing creature you touch is protected against certain types of creatures. Aberrations, celestials, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead. The protection grants several benefits. Creatures of those types have disadvantage on attack rolls against the target. The target cannot be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them. If the target is already charmed, frightened, or possessed by such a creature, the target has advantage on any new saving throws against the relevant effect. And I'm going to cast that on myself.
Sure. Your body starts to glow with radiant light just on every inch of your armor. It starts to shine off of you. And are you moving at all, or is that your turn?
I'm going to move in front. I'm going to move directly east and north to be... I want to be above where Mordecai is. Because I'm still the tank around here.
Okay.
What's this wall it's in?
That's a cliff. That's a cliff's edge. You're standing on top of Mordecai, and that's a cliff.
It really doesn't look like one on my map, though.
It's definitely a cliff.
No, you know what? Fuck that. Can I just go back to where I was?
Okay. Sure. You do not move.
Can I move the other direction?
You can move any direction you want to move.
Move. Each block is 5 meters, or it's 5 feet?
Yes.
Four, so that's 20, 25, 30. Okay, there you go.
Okay, so you nimbly step around the Garden of Grasping Vines. And now it's your turn, Mordecai.
Okay. Can I see or would have seen the weird teleportation light that she casts?
I mean, you would have seen a bang and a bunch of light coming from over where Val was.
Okay. Because I kind of want to use my action to move the hands in that direction, unless you guys have anything else that you think I should be doing. So right now, I don't feel like I'm really helping a whole lot with the old damage.
You're not helping, though.
Would it be maybe a smarter idea if I move one of the hands in front of Val and one of the hands in front of you to act like some sort of stone defense and give you guys cover?
Yo, I'm into it.
All right, let's do that instead.
Okay.
So I'll split up the hands. And I'll put one in front of Giovanni, all the fingers up, acting as a wall.
Oh, I thought you said middle then, finger up, but yeah, all right.
I mean, I could do that too. I mean, it's a 5 foot by 5 foot hand.
I can shoot bolts between the fingers.
Pretty big.
Though, right?
If you want, like I can put it. I can have it open fingers.
All right, you have to decide now: is it open fingers or closed fingers? Because that's going to have a very real effect on Giovanni's ability to fire a crossbow.
They're going
to
be open fingers for Giovanni, and then the other one I'm going to pull back behind myself, put it in front of Val, kind of like a curved cupped hand on its side.
Oh, nice. Thanks, dude.
Okay.
So he's got a nice wall of protection if you want to kneel down and just lick your wounds.
Good thing this monster can't teleport.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd really suck.
For now, we'll be okay in case she decides to throw shit again.
Okay, that's the end of your turn then?
That's the end of my turn.
Okay, Dryad's turn. She steps into the garden, and now, Mordecai, you can make out her form. And she approaches the hand that's directly in front of Val, and she stabs out at it with her spear.
This lady.
And with the spear, she casts Dispel Magic as it strikes into the hand. Dispel Magic is choose one creature, object, or magical effect within range. Any spell of third level or lower on the target ends. For each spell of fourth or higher, make an ability check using your spell casting ability, 10 plus the spell's level. What level is this spell?
The hand disappears. Second, I was all out of third level spells, so it just evaporates back into the rock that it was made out of.
It does, but it does it in a very horrific fashion, Mordecai. The spear strikes the hand, and it just juts out, all the fingers radiating around it, and it's just clenching itself, shaking, and then it disappears. It doesn't get pulled into the earth, it just disappears.
Damn.
And that's her turn. It is now Val's turn.
Sure. If I'm still able to talk to the plants, I'm going to try and command them to seize her once more.
Okay. I need you to roll a persuasion check, and she will contest that.
19. Come on, baby.
21.
Oh, come on.
If only we had some way to impose disadvantage on her.
I can't think of anything, but you guys might be able to.
If she attacks me, she might be at disadvantage, depending on what she is.
Yeah, this is exactly... You guys already have that situation
for
10 going.
Minutes, which I hope this fight doesn't take to resolve.
She's about to kill us.
Giovanni, it is your turn.
Can I have disadvantage if I'm resting my firing arm right in between two of the fingers in the glove, like to assist my aim?
No, I'm actually going to give you advantage on that. That's pretty cool.
Sick. All right. 22 for the first one.
Fuck. That hits.
7 damage. Next attack. 22 again.
That hits again.
9. 142 on the d4s.
Okay.
No, I can't believe I've never seen a hand shield used in some sort of fantasy medium yet. This is really cool.
Thanks.
You fire two shots into her back as she stabs the hand in front of her, and she pulls her spear back. The hand disappears, and you can see that she now has 4 different arrow quills pelting in her back. Kind of starting to look porcupine-esque. Mordecai, it's your turn. You have a 8-foot tall dryad standing in front of you, having just destroyed one of your hands.
Okay. The only thing that is coming to mind, I need some clarification on. So,
okay.
Those explosives we bought, did I leave those behind with fives?
I believe you put them in your jacket.
Then I'm going to pull out one of those explosives, and I want to throw it at her.
Okay, you only got one explosive.
I'm throwing it at her, and I'm yelling to Val, "Duck!"
It's really disappointing that all the modules are turned off right now, because I did add on a bunch of explosive animations on those.
Oh, cool.
You know what?
Just imagine it. Use the theater of your mind.
I don't know how this explosive works, but it's in a glass bottle, so I'm assuming it's going to shatter on her weird wooden skin.
Sure.
If it doesn't, I would like to cast Firebolt.
Okay. So you have it in your inventory, and there is a description of it, but I'll read it out. This sticky adhesive fluid ignites when exposed to air. As an action, you can throw this flask up to 20 feet, shattering it on impact. Make a ranged attack against a creature or object, treating the alchemist fire as an improvised weapon. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 fire damage and then 1d4 fire damage at the start of each of its turns. A creature can end this damage by using its own action to make a DC 10 dex check to extinguish the flames.
So, query, even if I don't hit her directly and it falls to the ground and potentially still shatters, would that catch her entangle field on fire?
It depends on where you throw it. And we're going to need you to roll a ranged
attack. I'm going to aim it at her. That.
So you're aiming at her.
Okay.
And I need you to click that little rolly button next to that explosive.
Attack. Oh, my goodness. Come on. Oh, 11?
Bad news. That 11 misses.
Okay. That would have been full freaking damage, too.
So it flies about maybe 5 or 10 feet past her.
Okay.
She just kind of ducks out of the way as you
pull out this grenade out of your pocket and toss it at her.
And now, suddenly, Mordecai, you have an 8-foot-tall dryad staring you down, and behind her is a wall of flames. It's very menacing looking. You can't see her face or front. It's just this black figure with a giant spear next to it.
Oh, no.
I said I wanted to work this out peacefully, and you said no.
Okay. She turns towards you, Mordecai, takes a step, and she stabs at you with her spear.
I intentionally take the hit to grab onto the spear.
Whatever you say. 17.
Oh, yeah, that 100% hits.
9 damage.
Okay.
She stabs you in the arm. Doable. Then she brings the spear back and slams it down at you. Cutting edge coming down.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
19.
That hits again.
8 damage.
Okay, yep. Still standing.
Whew. Okay, that's the end of her turn. And Val, it's your turn. Your buddy's getting stabbed right next to you.
Jeez, yeah, okay. If I can, once again, I'm going to implore the plants to seize her. Hold her fast.
Okay.
You are the Lorax. You speak to the trees.
I'm trying to speak and they're not doing anything. 19 again.
She got an 18.
Woo!
The vines seem...
Hey, I guess...
The vines seem hesitant to obey your commands, but many of them start to reach up and grab themselves onto her legs as she stands in their patch.
Nice.
Okay, Geo, it's your turn.
I am going to use a bonus action, which is Channel Divinity Champion Challenge. As a bonus action, you issue a challenge that compels other creatures to do battle with you. Each creature of your choice that you can see within 30 feet must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, a creature can't willingly move more than 30 feet away from you. The effect ends on the creature if you are incapacitated or die, or if the creature is more than 30 feet away from you.
Okay, and what does she have to roll to contest this?
I think it's a DC 11 for my wisdom.
She rolled a 13.
Damn it. Oh, well, I tried.
Give me some flavor text.
You stupid dryad. I don't even know what to be saying to it. I'm probably just yelling, come here, come here, staring from behind the hand that's now on fire.
She's not looking at you. She doesn't even turn back. She just says no. Mordecai, you can make it out.
No.
She says no in common?
Yes. She's been speaking common to you.
Okay, whatever. I can only use one bonus action turn, right? It's not like I can use all my bonus actions.
Yeah, you can't flood the chat with all your bonus actions.
Alright, fine. Attacking with Mizdo's crossbow again.
Okay.
Do I get advantage again because I'm using the hand again?
Yeah. No, the hand is on fire now. You do not get advantage.
Oh no. First shot, 14.
14 misses.
Second shot, 9.
The glare of the fire in front of you just catches you too off guard, and you can't quite make out a clear shot on her. You fire twice anyways, but both shots miss.
Dang it. Wait, can I also move on my turn?
Yes, of course you can move on your turn.
I'm going to move back over here, closer to where I was before.
Okay, you step out from behind the hand, and you walk around the edge of the grasping garden, and now you are only maybe 10 feet away, 15 feet away from the dryad, as well as Mordecai and Val.
Perfect.
Mordecai, it is your turn.
I'm going to take the remaining hand that's behind her in her blind spot and call it towards myself to grab her from behind.
Okay.
Good idea.
Strength saving throw.
Yeah.
And it's against your DC.
I think, yeah, it's a 14, okay. I think, for that.
The hand comes up behind her. She rolls a 12.
Awesome.
The hand grabs onto her from her back, and as it does, you can see the arrows that were in her back from Giovanni's crossbow pierce through the front of her as the hand pushes into her.
Bonus damage?
No bonus damage. It's just flavor text.
Oh, that's so cool.
Just flavor text. So normal damage, she, well, 2d6, she takes 4.
Okay.
But then on subsequent turns, I can squeeze her again.
No, if Val can get those plants.
I'm just going to back up a little bit.
If Val can get the plants under control, we'll just be able to fucking sacrifice her.
Did you step away from her there, Mordecai?
I mean, if she's restrained, would I not be able to move away without getting hit?
Double restrained.
Restrained.
Mm-hmm.
Restrained creature speed becomes 0, and it can't benefit from any bonus to its speed. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage. So, I am going to take an attack of opportunity there, but it's at disadvantage.
All right, go for it.
Go for it.
Give it to me.
Shit.
I've died so many times that I'm cocky now.
Okay. Well, she got a 23.
Is that a nat 20?
It's
or
a dirty 20, but it was just remarkable seeing that this was okay, a disadvantage, cool. And she still somehow managed to get a 23.
It's like the opposite of how I rolled.
Yeah, I looked. I double checked it. I just wanted to take a moment there. Yeah, she got a 23. She takes the spear as her arms are kind of being held against her, and she swings it down at your legs as you step back, and she ends up hitting you, and you take 7 points of damage.
Oh. All right, I'm at 10, boys.
All right, her turn. So she is restrained by the hand as well as the garden at her feet. The first thing that she does is dismiss the garden, and you can see it disappear from the ground in front of you. It just fades back into the earth at her feet.
Ah, shoot.
Smart.
Okay.
And the second thing that she does is she tries to break free of the hand. She rolls an 18.
Shoot.
That hand is dispelled.
She breaks free of the hand, turns around, and she stabs it again. Just like the other hand, and the hand disappears, bursting into flame this time in front of all of you, and falling back onto the fire that Mordecai started just a moment ago. Okay, and it is Valerius's turn.
Shit, yeah, okay.
I like how we've all just gotten in a tight little formation around this very angry dragon.
It's all that Renlin guard training, man. You just naturally fell into it.
Yeah, it must be.
So, Val, you got Giovanni to your left, and you got Mordecai to your right, and you have a dryad right in between all of you, and it's looking a lot at Mordecai, and Mordecai's not looking too great.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, I want to use poison spray. Honor, I guess.
Okay. What does she have to roll? Constitution?
Constitution, yep.
Okay.
And then just pray that she's not resistant or immune.
Yep.
Well, she rolled a 5, so the poison spray hits her.
Nice.
So we're going to find out, I guess. So here we go. Just a 7.
Okay. She takes 3 points of damage.
Ugh. All right.
Had a feeling.
Yeah. Shit.
And Giovanni, it's your turn.
I am going to use a bonus action to use my other channel divinity ability to turn the tide.
Okay.
I can do that, right? My channel divinities are like...
I think you can use 2 a day.
2 a day? That makes sense because I have 2... that I can use. As a bonus action, you can bolster injured creatures with your channel divinity. Each creature of your choice that can hear you within 30 feet of you regains hit points equal to 1d6 plus your charisma modifier, if it has no more than half its hit points. So, this is for the boys. Does this count for me too? Because I'm a creature that can hear.
And you can choose yourself.
I choose our party.
Yo, Geo, that is a clutch move.
I know.
Yeah.
26 plus.
That's
2.
Man, what an opportunity.
Everyone gets
what
8 good... health.
Wow. You maxed it.
Perfect.
Yep.
Fuck yeah. Paladin.
Turn the tide indeed. Yeah, man.
That's a whole lot better.
That's looking better.
And that's a bonus action.
Not in the
I'm
red
feeling
anymore.
So good about it. I'm gonna fucking go and start whacking this guy with my sword.
Yeah.
Back to plan A.
I might join you pretty soon.
Stab the shit out of this thing, guys.
Yeah, if I have my crowbar,
the three of you just guys beating up a tree in an underground cave.
Yep, I think that's pretty much how it's gonna go.
That's the Renlin City Guard training kicking in.
it's just that scene from Office Space.
Bad boys,
where they're
bad
all beating
boys.
Up the fax machine.
What you gonna do?
All right, first attack roll with a longsword, 24.
Yeah, that hits.
Rolling for damage, 6. Next attack, if I hit. Fuck it, I'm gonna throw on a little bit of the old
Divine Smite.
Not Divine Smite. I wanna do a branding smite.
Divine Smiter. Okay.
If I hit.
Oh.
13, so no hit.
Branding.
You miss.
Does that burn a spell slot too?
Shit.
Yes, it does. If you say you're gonna do that, then that's what happens.
I will do it. Oh, it's a second level too? God damn it. I think I burned all my spell slots. Oh, no, I have one more first level. Okay.
Okay, so Giovanni, you slam your... You first... You did a few things here. Okay. you yell out. What do you yell out to your companions to really inspire them to the channel the righteous fury that's in you?
Well, the divinity comes from my worship of the sacred object, so...
Give me some flavor.
By the object, I heal thee.
Okay, you yell that and you reach out with one of your hands towards your companions. And yeah, everybody heals up. 8 points. For some reason, it's super effective. Then you rush in with your shield like low in front of you. You stop in front of the dryad and you swing down with your sword and it cuts right into her shoulder blade. And then you pull your sword back and you stab at her, your sword now radiating with just this spectral divine light, just heat coming off of it. But you just sidesteps it and it goes past her.
I'll take it. No one's health is red anymore, so I consider that a win for the Paladin.
Next up, it's you, Mordecai.
Yes.
Wait, are Val and Mordecai just like, holy shit, the object just healed us? Or are they just like...
100% yes.
That might be something they have to ask themselves.
Exactly. Yes. It's better than Gio rubbing his hands all over us.
which also works.
I thought he just had essential oils on his hand. I
think it was definitely copped the fuel last time.
I mean, I'm feeling a little awkward right now because he's been talking about his sacred objects. I'm kind of curious if his crotch is his god.
That's a small blasphemy that he commits by making that joke, but... They all did it at the Holy School.
Weirdly, pride is not a sin in the Order of the Sacred Object.
No, it's
virtue. It's one of the few temples that actually allow pride.
It's encouraged.
That's why our order is in such a state of disarray and disrepair, is because pride is considered a virtue.
Okay, Mordecai, it's your turn. What are you doing?
Okay. As a bonus action, I'm going to use up the rest of my sorcery points to regain a second level spell slot, because I only have 2, so I can only get a second level slot. And then for my action, I will Dragon's Breath this motherfucker again.
Okay.
And fire again. So DC 15 Dexterity save.
She rolls a 9.
Full damage. Come on.
No.
6.
Oh.
The damage has not been in my favor tonight.
No. On the plus side, though, it hurts a bit. It does hurt a bit. She takes that damage.
I tried, guys.
You can see the bark on her start to kind of light up and get crispy, real nice and crispy. And you can see
really
little embers and coals starting to... Yeah.
It's all
greenwood is what the problem is.
Anybody smell a campfire?
And next up, it's her turn. She turns towards you, Giovanni, and she stabs at you with her spear.
And is that going to be at advantage or disadvantage for her? Do I not know?
You don't know.
But you know.
18.
18 does not hit.
Beautiful.
14.
Does not hit.
She stabs at you twice, Giovanni, but you bring your shield up each time to just pull her spear to the side.
And I'm going to yell, come on!
Val, it's your turn.
Okay, sure. Quick question. When you're using like second level spells, with my third level moonbeam, I won't be able to cast Flame Blade, right? Because I will have burned all my second level spell slots, right?
That makes sense.
Moonbeam should have used up your third level spells. Oh, you used Speak with Plants. That was a third level spell. Then you did Moonbeam, but you cast it at third level. So that should have used that one up. So I think you actually have a second level spell here.
Sure, to use Flame Blade, sure.
Yeah, because you only use 2 third level spells. That means that you wouldn't have eaten up your second level spell when you cast Moonbeam, because you cast it at a third level. So there you go. You got...
I see. Okay, I see how it goes. So I should actually have three spell slots then still for second level.
Yeah, how about you share some of those spells with Mordecai? He's quickly running out.
Down to first levels.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. So, I'm going to invoke Flame Blade, so...
Okay. You summon your flaming scimitar in front of you, and you reach out and you grab it.
And then inspired by Geo's Turn of the Tide, I'm going to get in there.
Okay.
That's so sick.
So roll to attack. Fuck off. 8.
Yeah, the 8 does not hit.
That's pretty cool that you're in the fray now.
Yeah, I'm sure Geo is really proud of you.
Yeah, no.
Okay, next up, it's your turn, Geo.
Fucking second verse, same as the first, let's go. So I'm going to swing at this one, and I'm going to throw a Divine Smite on it, too.
Okay.
Nice.
18.
The 18 hits.
Full, dude. Come on.
Damage, damage. 6 damage. All right, let's get some divine.
Yep, throw on a little divine flavor.
A little bit of that divine flavor on there. 5. Big attack.
11 damage.
All right, next attack. Crit fail.
Ooh, boy, you're out of koi.
I'm out of koi.
Let's see what that table has in line for you.
You know, there's 2 koi on the shield. It's kind of stupid that they both...
They're symbiotic.
What does it say?
You got an 18, trip, roll dex, or fall. Okay, I need you to roll a dexterity saving throw, please.
I got a plus 2, too. 6 plus 2 is 8.
You fall.
Oh!
You are now prone on the ground.
That's no good.
Nope.
Oh, wait. Can I use the... Because I didn't use my movement this turn. Can I use my movement to get up?
To counter the thing that you just had to roll for?
Yeah.
Fine.
Does that make sense mechanically, though?
No, but go ahead.
What is this, Final Fantasy Tactics? Once I move, I have to attack.
That's how it is in 3.5.
How is it in 5e?
I think that you can do movement or attack interchangeably.
Okay. Josh, you have to use
half your movement to get up from
prone.
You
sound like
though.
My parents reading a report card. What do you want to do?
No, you stand back up. Okay, okay. So let's go through this. So you stab at it. You cast divine light upon your sword, and you slash, and you cut directly into her arm. Her arm is really, like, holding on by only a few vines at this point.
Nice.
And you go to stab at her a second time, and you try to cut in at her waist, but you just end up tripping and falling on the ground. And awkwardly looking around for a second, you pick yourself back up, and everyone's just kind of staring at you. You feel a little embarrassed.
Don't look at me, look at the dryad!
Mordecai, right. It's your turn.
Once again, Giovanni does not know what a dryad is.
Okay. Witch Bolt. 17 to hit.
The 17 does hit.
As if first level spell does more damage than all my third levels put together. 11 damage, lightning damage to be exact.
Okay, and you're only doing the one?
I have no sorcery points left.
Oh, so it's a multi. Oh it. Man, we really burnt you out, eh? Well, I got some good news for you there, Mordecai.
What?
You cast Witch Bolt, and a sheer blinding light radiates down from the ceiling, and it crashes down into this dryad, piercing her directly through the chest, and it stays there, crackling away, and it starts radiating out through her bark skin, and you can see it in between all the places where it sort of splits, this blue light radiating down in waves down her legs and down her torso, and then she falls to the ground, sliding on the lightning bolt going straight through her chest.
Oh man, I guess she was just allergic to lightning the whole time.
And there she lays.
Nice. Wow, Jesus. Man, that was a banger.
I suggest we use her body as a bonfire and take a long rest.
Let's chuck this. Is that grenade fire still glowing?
I think it goes for
a
while.
It's probably there. Like there's some of the oil starting to burn out. It's kind of a little
I'm gonna use my Renlin guard training and kick the staff away from her hand. Like a cop would kick a gun away from a...
In case it doesn't like reform or something.
Yeah, you always kick the weapon away, you know.
Fair.
Kind of do that.
SOP.
Okay, all right. So you guys kick the staff away. The corpse is just lying there in front of you with lightning radiating out of its chest.
Jesus, Josh. That was a good one. Good one.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode and to all other episodes if you've made it up until this point. A special thanks to Jason, Al, DJ Seath, Aaron, and Ethan. You guys have been patrons of ours for a real long time, and we have a lot more planned for you guys, so it's nice to have you guys along for the ride. If you want to hear more from us, you can check us out over on Instagram as Leighton Legends or join us over on Facebook. That's where we post a lot of our like content stuff, and it's also where we like to post fun things, like if we're going to be doing a live show. Like, that's fun. People like that sometimes. If you really want to buckle down and support us, you can join us over on Patreon, but of course there's no pressure. We just like that you listen to us. That makes us feel good, and that's a lot of the time all we need. Stay tuned as we have more planned and more coming up on the way. We'll see you guys next week.